Here's a place where all of us can be safe. Our stories of transformation can be safe, and all the things we want to research are safe here. This is Safe Space with Cheyenne. I'm really excited you're here, and I hope you stick around for a while, because I've got a lot to show you before I leave Earth. I love you guys. Hello, my sweet friends out there in the world listening to us. I have a question for you. Have you struggled with generational trauma or even like holdbacks in ancestry? I think that's the best way that I could say it. I got into generational trauma healing and understanding my gifts and what my ancestors brought down the pipeline, just the surface of it, in the last 4 years that I've been doing my healing process. But I did come across an amazing woman named Elizabeth Kipp, who her specialty is ancestral clearing and stress management specialist. She has a multitude of modalities and certifications that she's learned over her time, including a very direct experience with chronic pain, which has led her to dedicate her life to helping others recover. So I've brought Elizabeth on today to talk about the work that she's doing, how she came into doing the work that she's doing, and talking about this book on chronic pain as well. So thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on today.
Well, thank you so much, Cheyenne. It's great to be here. I'm delighted to be able to share this work with your listeners and to be able to share your audience with mine.
Couldn't have done a better intro. I feel the same way. We had such a great talk the last time that we got together. I do wish that I would have recorded that now looking back, because we hit a lot of really good topics. Luckily, I have some notes that I wrote down. But so tell me about your work right now before we get into the last 40 years of the chronic pain and Western medicine that you had to deal with.
Yeah, I have a, thank you. I have a an overall umbrella of stress management under which I bring ancestral clearing and chronic pain management, trauma training. I'm trauma trained and yoga informed addiction recovery coach. I'm really focused on people that are in recovery that have chronic pain and don't want to use pharmaceuticals. They're trying to find a way to heal without having to take medicine, right? And the ancestral clearing piece. A lot of people come to me straight up for ancestral clearing. Everybody has stress. How we manage it is really an art. It's kind of part of the art of living. And the reason that I got into the ancestral thing, I really started when I was about four. I recognized, I couldn't voice it, but I felt it. I knew there was this weight in my family, and I didn't know what to call it, and nobody talked about it, but I felt it. And it wasn't until I actually was exposed to ancestral clearing, which is a trademark registered process of John Newton of Health Beyond Belief. I'm one of his practitioners. It wasn't until I started getting into that work that I finally was like, oh, now I see what that is. It was the burden and the weight and the kind of the unfinished business that was still in my family. And the most immediate piece of that was the kind of the fallout that they came home with from the Second World War. It's like they went off to this war to fight the darkness, and they won the war, but they came back with the darkness in them. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Yeah. And that was kind of how I saw that. And it wasn't until I got into this work that I was actually able to, because I felt that weight, I carried it, that I was able to release it. So it became very powerful, and it was an important part of me healing from chronic pain as well. It wasn't the only thing that helped me heal from chronic pain, but it was a significant part of it. Yeah.
So what are the beginning steps of like identifying it and then bringing it to your awareness that this is something that's holding me back? And then what steps do you use to push you through that?
You know, that's a great question. Because I usually work with at least one person every day in that particular modality. And oftentimes people will come to me and say, I have this feeling, but I don't know where it came from. So that's number one. You have a feeling, and it's usually not a happy feeling. It's usually some kind of a weight or you can feel it kind of uncomfortable in the body. Yeah. That it shows up like that. Another thing is like, you know, an example of things that we pick up from our families that I often experience is worry energy. Mothers worrying, aunts worrying, grandmothers worrying. And because we have mirror neurons and we learn by mimicking one another, that helps keeps us socially within the culture. We pick up these behaviors and then they become part of us, and then we do it. And you know, that's the interesting thing about the work that you and I are doing, is because when those behaviors, when we pick them up, they're unconscious. And the work that you and I do is bringing the unconscious to conscious, awakening to what am I up to, and do I really, and realizing that I have a choice. Yes, I'm going to use this unconscious behavior consciously, or no, I'm going to switch this up and do this other thing, right? That's the beauty of the work that you and I are in.
It definitely is. I mean, it's hard. I was just talking to someone the other day where sometimes it just gets painted as such a wonderful, wonderful experience to find all of these ways that you're acting that aren't you, or you know, even when you meet your shadow side, there's people that still trying to paint it as such a delightful process. But there really is something to say about like meeting the depths of your soul that you've just been putting off for so long. And then when you add the ancestral stuff on top of it, it really is just some next level healing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear you on that. And I like to keep in mind that I don't just come in with the burdens of my ancestors, the unfinished business of them. I come in with their gifts as well.
Absolutely.
And I'll give you an example of a gift, because I didn't make this up. I literally landed on the planet with gratitude. It wasn't something that I was taught or I thought up with my mind. I came in with it. And that was something that really kept me with a very positive momentum through all the years of chronic pain that I suffered, trying to find a solution. I just kept trying to find a solution. Mm-hmm. But it was that energy, that frequency of gratitude that really helped. So that was a gift. We have the gift of resilience to certain diseases. And that also, the other gift, you know, that I just mentioned was like the ability to just keep going in the face of adversity. That's a gift from the ancestors. That's not something that, you know, we can't really learn that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of baked into the cake, as it were.
Yes. I think I read that on your website this morning, actually, and it was a very nice reminder. I know it was, for me, it was a meme that reminded me of the gifts of the time, because I was so focused on dredging up all the things that were holding me back. So I was doing kind of like gene keys mapping through it to try to just build a relationship with these shadow truths of mine. And I was just scrolling one day and it was like, everybody's so focused on healing their generational trauma. Don't forget to acknowledge the generational gifts that you have. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's so powerful. So I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. And then later on in a meditation, I was just like bringing my ancestors to me. And I was like, I know all of the things you've instilled in me. How silly of me to like not recognize that first. But it's so easy in this world when, I mean, there's magic all around us. We just kind of get covered up and dusty sometimes and forget about it. So even mm-hmm. in the work that we do and the awakening that's coming through, so to speak, it really is just an unbinding and a remembering of yourself and your ancestors, which just really brings you closer to consciousness as a whole, in my opinion.
Mm. They're already here. Mm-hmm. They're baked into our DNA, their trials and tribulations, all that they went through. You know, you can imagine, imagine sitting in a valley, in the deepest valley in the Himalayas, and you've got mountains coming in front of you and behind you, and you're And then behind you, you've got all the ancestors, all the way up to the top of the mountain. And in front of you, you've got all your descendants, right? Mm-hmm. Stretched in front of you up the other side of the mountain, the other side. And you're in the middle. It's our turn in this moment. Mm-hmm. But we've got the momentum of all they went through right already in us. And that is something that, you know, when I feel alone anymore, if I ever feel alone, I know they're right there with me, mm-hmm. right? I have this is not just an intellectual understanding. This is actually felt experience in the body. And that really is a game changer in terms of for me being able to navigate life. I just feel like I've got the momentum of so many that went through so much before me, mm-hmm. that it just helps me to keep moving into the day. Yeah.
Well, especially all the love that I know there's a battle between understanding conditional and unconditional love. So the amount of love that is behind you at all times from your ancestors, I know we can talk about like guides and guardian angels and spirit guides and all of that, but the love of your ancestral line, just like cheering you on behind you, that we really aren't cognizant of for a long time. I know that, I mean, Cinco de Mayo is the day that we're recording. It's not the day that this is going to be released, but it's like, what a day of ancestors to have our recording on as well.
Because exactly.
It's just such a great time to not only honor them, but thank them. And then understand that, like you said, they really are here with us, really just pushing us along on whatever our mission is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the map of all that they went through us through. We've got it within us. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we're really an evolutionary edge. This lifetime, in this moment, it's an evolutionary edge to the next, right? And then and our children are the next iteration, and they're working their evolutionary edge. It's kind of an interesting way to go through life. I just don't feel alone anymore. I used to, and it's not even in my awareness anymore. It just isn't. I mean, there's the experience of oneness, which I often actually, it's a felt sense that I feel in meditation, where I'm sitting and I lose all sense of the edges of my body. I just, mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, kind of melt into the field. Mm-hmm. But the thing about the ancestors, that thing that I just explained, like melting into the feeling, the oneness, and melting into it, I feel that in meditation. I don't necessarily feel that as I walk through my day as a continual experience. Mm-hmm. But I do feel the ancestors is a continual experience, and that's been different. Anyway, so that's the work. I'd love to give an experience of ancestral clearing, which is a specific modality. Yeah. And we're talking about ancestral energy. Ancestral clearing is a specific modality that acknowledges the imprint that the ancestors have left in us, and including the gifts, but also the unfinished business. And we're really looking at helping this. It's a process that helps us release negative energy from the past, this lifetime, but also in the lineage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is it true when they say, like, when you heal your present self, it helps seven generations ahead and seven generations back? Have you ever heard that?
I have heard that many times.
Many times.
That's currently what science can measure.
Okay.
That's also, I haven't heard it directly from an elder Indigenous American, but I've heard people say that's what they believe, which is, there's like so many tribes. So how would you, you know, I don't even know which tribe they're referencing. So yeah. I'm not even sure that's a fair statement, mm-hmm. but that it's an honorable statement, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We live in the quantum world. So that in the present moment, we can access past, present, and future. And so in the present moment, we can clear it all. Mm-hmm. All the generations from a quantum point of view. So that science is more of a Newtonian perspective. It's more linear. It's what science can currently measure. But from a quantum point of view, and our experience in ancestor clearing is we clear it all. We don't stop at seven generations. We just, we go, I mean, we've gone, I mean, we clear, when COVID hit, there was an awful lot of clearing that people were coming in needing for just from plague. And that goes back to, you know, that goes back before, you know, even the middle of the Dark Ages. That goes mm-hmm. back even further than that. So many generations. So when we do the work, it's like we ask for help for as many generations as needed. We don't limit it.
I love that you said that. When I saw that you're an ancestral clearing practitioner, I'm like, ooh, I have to ask her take on this. Because I've always just assumed, you know, with how powerful energy and how far it can go out, I'm like, really? Just seven? I mean, like, well, a minimum of seven, I could see that.
But yeah.
Why is there a limit?
Well, the thing is, in ancestral clearing, what we're doing is the process is we're actually, as a practitioner and as a client, or have you as the client here, and all the listeners, will include them, we're actually asking source energy, creator, whatever you want, a great spirit, whatever you want to call that energy that created all this, you know, created everything, we're asking that to come in and help us release what no longer serves us. And we call that forgiveness. We're offering up which no longer serves. We call that forgiveness. Well, here's the thing. Why would we limit the infinite? Mm-hmm. The infinite. You know, if we say only for seven generations front and back, that's limiting the infinite. And the infinite is infinite, right? So we honor that. We honor the power there.
That's a great way to look at it. Why would we limit the infinite? Because we're humans. That's what I always come back down to. We really just have to give ourselves some grace that we don't always have the capacity to understand what's going on out there. So our only like downfall really is just to limit it and go, oh, this is all there is. Okay, we don't have to worry about anything else. Nope, there's nothing over there. But for you to just keep the reminder that there are so many possibilities out there. We just probably do not understand them at this time and where we are in our evolution. And that's okay, because we're supposed to be here focusing on this.
Well, we talked about, and I absolutely, and we talked about science being able to measure seven generations front and back. Mm-hmm. Well, science exists in a self-limiting framework. It can only comment on that which it can observe, measure, and describe. So that's where that measurement comes from. But where do we live? We live in the all that is, not just the only the part that science can observe, measure, and describe. We live in all of it. So science works in this one space where it measures and as I said before, it's we look at probabilities because the things that we learn in science are constantly changing. It's a very humble space to live. It's a very humble space to work. And it's self-limiting. So where do we heal? We heal in the all that is, not just in the science framework. So it's much easier to, with that perspective and understanding, it's much easier to understand, oh, well, you know, we can clear the whole lineage.
So before you got into this type of work, you obviously struggled with chronic pain for about 40 years, dealing with like Western medicine, just to put like a umbrella over it. Doctors are basically like, you're just going to have to deal with this. So in that journey, when did you get to the point, especially with your, because you have a degree in plant science and environmental studies, so it's still very logical, even though there's still a curiosity out there for more. What part of that journey did you just go, I'm not taking what they say is the Bible, and I'm going to take my power back and learn how to heal myself?
Well, that's almost what happened, but not quite. Yeah. So I got I had an accident when I was 14, and we really didn't, it didn't become a an instability in the spine where we were concerned about me losing my ability to walk until I was about 28. And that was when I started having surgery and a lot of pain medication on board and stuff like that. That was their answer. About 2 years into that whole process, which it lasted, I was 32 years. I was in this place where I had a lot of surgery and a lot of pain and a lot of medicine, and it just wasn't working. Looking for a solution. About 2 years into that, I had this doctor say, "Oh, well, the first of many doctors said to me, you will be in a level 7 and 10 out of pain, 7 out of 10 pain for the rest of your life, 24/7, and you will be in a wheelchair when you're 40." And because I kind of bowed to the doctors and their knowledge at that time, mm-hmm. I was devastated by that. But then I realized after a little while, after I got over being devastated, I realized that was inaccurate. That was an inaccurate statement. They had made a pronouncement. They'd forgotten their basic science, which we said before. Science works in probabilities, not facts. So it's not he could have said, it's probable that. The doctors could have said that. That's not what they said. Mm-hmm. You have to live with this. And it was just kind of like, anyway, that told me, because I had this beautiful training in science and I understood how to kind of research and how to kind of ask questions and I kind of understood how the framework was set up. That taught me more about the limitations of the doctor's model that they were working with, and then it taught me about the body's ability to heal. And that right there changed the momentum of my healing into, I'm going to find an answer. And I just, I dealt with chronic pain for a long time looking for an answer. Finally, I found one doctor who actually understood the nature of chronic pain. And he understood how to, it's kind of like he was a Qigong healer and he knew how to use energy to, he was also an osteopath and a brain physiologist and lots of other things, an addiction specialist. He helped me detox off of pain medication. He helped me see how my own behaviors were contributing to chronic pain. And he showed me ways to help clear the body of the pain that remained. And I walked into his pain management program with 40 years of chronic pain, and I walked out 52 days later with no pain.
That is miraculous, especially with all the medication that you had to detox off too, because you were on some heavy, heavy stuff to deal with that chronic pain.
Oh yeah, they had me on fentanyl for 15 years, and I was taking Ativan, which is a benzodiazepine. I was on that for 32 years, so it was some kind of a benzo. I was on that, some kind of opiate, and some kind of benzo. But the last 15 years, fentanyl, and not just a little bit. It's like, yeah. I don't really understand kind of why I'm alive.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it wasn't just me. He had a 94% success rate in that program. So it's not like I'm so special.
Yeah.
He actually understood the nature of chronic pain. And there were lots of other people just like me in the program that had been given, some combination of a pain medicine and any anxiety medicine, or were taking, sleep stuff or something. They had some kind of a chronic pain problem that they were medicating, and it was just making it worse. So he was able to help us clear that. So it was yes, the body wants to heal, but we need a little direction, and we have to be willing, and we have to be committed to our healing. But we also, we need people that actually understand the problem, and he really did. And the other doctors I worked with, they did their best with the knowledge that they had, but they didn't understand the problem, the fundamental problem, the way that this doctor did. So that was just a difference.
So he definitely had more of a holistic approach compared to what we're used to in America when we go to see doctors?
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I have, because I have a break in my spine, I have a broken bone, it displaced. When you look at my X, and it's held together with a machine, with a metal, with posts and screws and things. So it's fine, stable now. But when you look at my X-rays, if you just looked at the X-ray, which doctors tend to do, if you just looked at the X-ray, you would find three different kinds of patients. You would find one who was in pain all the time. You'd find another one who was pain only when they were stressed. And you'd find another one who didn't have any pain at all. How do you explain that when you're just looking at the X-ray? You can't. No. Yeah. So something more is happening. And I remember, and I've been all three of those people. I've been all three of those at different parts of my journey. I've been all three of those. So that's kind of interesting too. But the important thing is when I met Dr. Prescott, who was the last doctor that I met, Dr. Peter Prescott, he passed away, but he wrote a book, a great book, Conquer Chronic Pain. He looked at me and he said, I don't need to look at your X-rays and your records. I want to know who you are. And I was like, who are you? And what have you been all my life? I never had a doctor that looked at me like that. I mean,
yeah,
he
felt really seen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the beginning. And the other thing he said, which I thought was amazing, was, what are you doing to contribute to your pain? And I didn't understand that question until he said, I didn't think I'd been doing anything. I thought the pain was doing it all to me. Mm-hmm. He said, don't judge the moment. And I was like, what does that mean? And I realized I've been judging my pain as bad my whole life. Mm-hmm. And when we judge an experience as bad and we try and push it away, right, instead of integrate and understand the gift in it, then we're turning towards suffering. And that's what happens with pain. It's very misunderstood.
Yeah, I mean, I've always believed it really is just like a warning sign for you to pay attention to something that needs your attention. And you can go deeper into body mapping and all of that. But I watched so many people when I was younger, older than me, have these chronic pains, or the older they got, something would happen where it was obviously slowing their body down. And the way that they were able to just, whether they were taking medication or not, they would talk about this pain and they would just like, it's just a part of me. I just have to deal with it. I just have to keep going on, you know, perseverance. But me looking at them were like, I don't hurt when I get out of bed, but I'm also young. And I took that into consideration. So I always watch these people and be like, how do I not say that at that age? Like, how do I not turn 30 and be like, oh, I'm starting to get old, or oh, it's all downhill from here, or just have these moments of decline that I'm putting on myself based on what I see in other people or what I'm experiencing for myself. Because if I'm in pain, I'm going to figure out why I'm in pain to relieve it and get it away and make sure that it's not going to stop me from living a very vital life.
Well, I would, it's very interesting what you just said, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I say this, pain is the currency of transformation. Be careful how you spend it. That's a direct quote from a friend of mine and a teacher named Guru Prem Singh Khalsa. Pain is the currency of transformation. Be careful how you spend it. So it's kind of like, what value are we putting? What perspective are we taking to the game, to this word pain? And by the way, for the listeners, because it's misunderstood, chronic pain is any pain, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, any of it, that's felt 15 days out of 30 for 3 months or more. Any pain. It all sends the same signals in the brain. It hurts. The brain can't tell the difference between a broken bone and a broken heart. So it doesn't matter if it's emotional pain or physical pain, and lots of times emotional pain will journal over into physical pain and vice versa. Spiritual pain, it's all the same. And why is that important? Because chronic pain changes the way the brain operates. It changes the brain. So it creates chaos in the brain. It creates, so I can't think straight. And it creates a lot of negativity, more negative than we already have. It hits the emotional part of the brain. So our emotions get, tend to get negative along with it. And we get more reactive. Our stress response gets out of balance. There's a lot of physiological things that happen in chronic pain. So it's really important. It's really important to understand it, to really understand what it is. There's like 25% of the United States population, according to the NIH, is in chronic pain, and the World Health Organization says a fifth of the planet is suffering, and that's across all socioeconomic measures, including children. So it's kind of a silent epidemic, mm-hmm. and it's why I like to come on these shows and talk about it, because it's a lot of people are in it. They don't know that they're in it, and then they're in such a fight with it. They're resisting. They're fighting with it rather than doing what you were saying. What's the gift in this? How can I transform this? Not so much get rid of it. How can I transform it? We try and get rid of it. Then we're in relationship with trying to fight with it, and that's not what we want to do. We want to meet it where it is and transform it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense to me. I just think not necessarily like building a relationship, but like asking it why it's there. I never like feeling in pain, but when I see these people that they almost wear it like a badge of honor that they can still go on and survive while they're in so much pain. It's something that like I grew up with just a lot of really hands-on hard workers, and their body was obviously going to break down over time, whether carpal tunnel, arthritis, injuries from the farm, whatever it was. But I just remember observing everybody and just seeing truly how chronically broken down they were over time. And it would just be like, that's how it is when you get older. Or, you know, I had this injury back in 95 and I've just never been the same. Again, it was still like a badge that they were so resilient to get through. And I was fascinated because my mind automatically was like, let's go study the pain and figure out why this is here in the first place. What's the root of this issue? You know, mm-hmm. just like when you found mm-hmm. the man that helped you do the detox and relieve you of all the chronic pain, I knew curiously that there was something more out there. I just mm-hmm. had no idea what it was. And I wasn't willing to settle like they did in that thought process where they're like, well, generation, like they just look ahead to the generations before them and go, oh, well, that's just the way it is. And mm-hmm. I've never been okay with, oh, that's just the way it is. I've always thought there was something more.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly the way it was for me. One of the problems we have is that we become identified with the pain mm-hmm. instead of like, I have this pain. I am this pain. I'm experiencing this pain, but it's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing, yeah, so it's kind of like we have to be careful about am I saying that I am the pain mm-hmm. or am I saying the pain is in me? Am I saying I'm having an experience of pain but it's not who I am? You know, where are we with that, and are we clear on that? Well, in chronic pain, the brain gets the mind gets so chaotic it's hard to see clearly anyway. That's when it's helpful to have like a doctor that understands it, I have a good friend who's a chronic pain physician's assistant. She understands the nature of chronic pain. She works in a pain clinic, and people like me, I'm not a doctor or a therapist, but I'm a great coach in the space. So I can spend time with the people that you know, where you, if the doctor only has 15 minutes for you, you can see me for an hour. And you know, we can work on that.
And the direct experience that you have, I mean, I'm sure is really comforting to people, especially in the who are heavily medicated, have been heavily medicated for more than a decade, less, more, whatever. It doesn't really matter how long you're on it. That stuff is definitely going to affect you. So for me, if I was coming to you, I would feel so safe, so seen, and so heard just because I know that you are out on the other side of where I would like to be and seeing that example. It would be one of the biggest factors for me to want to work with you, but also feel safe with me going through my detox process and understanding why chronic pain is here and even building a positive relationship with it. I love that you're able to identify like, oh, I've literally been identifying this as my attacker my whole life and it's so bad. And I mean, a lot of people don't really heal that way or think to heal that way just because we were at one time still so trained to that what the doctor said was like the end all be all of it. Like there wasn't anything else that you could go through to get healed. Take this pill, you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, there's that. And the other thing is that we're basically, at least in this country, we're at war with pain. Mm-hmm. You know, as a child, when somebody, you know, fell down and bumped their head or whatever it was, what happened? The adults rushed into the area and did whatever they could to make the pain go away as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And so what's the message there to the child? Pain is bad. Mm-hmm. I have to do whatever I can to get rid of it as fast as possible. Because the you know, for whatever reason that the parents are uncomfortable with the child screaming or whatever, they don't understand pain either. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a really good example of intergenerational beliefs that get passed down. Mm-hmm. Pain is bad, right? We're in a war with pain. Well, we're coming at life where pain is part of life. It's just kind of part of the deal. So let's see it for what it is and respect it and look at its gifts and make peace with it, right? Rather than be in a war with it. That's kind of, you know, that's 180 degrees from where I was raised.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Speaking of further away from where you were raised, after you got out of the program, you were free of all of the medication and didn't have any pain. Is that when you found yoga and meditation, or was that a part of his program or your life before that?
Yeah, I was already doing yoga. I've been meditating since like 1975 or something.
Oh, wow, great.
But it's nowhere near as effective when you're on medication as it is when you're clean. it's a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. I did use it. I did use meditation very effectively in the chronic pain experiences when I had migraines. I had migraines for 7 years, and I actually, meditation was very helpful in clearing those. So that was really interesting. And I had I was pretty traumatized from surgery in a hospital that I went at one of my surgeries that I went to. I was pretty traumatized afterwards that they wouldn't give me any pain medicine after the surgery. And there'd been a lot of cutting, and they gave me a Tylenol. And I'm like, what? Anyway, that was, and so I spent a lot of time in meditation, just trying to just stay in the present moment, breathe, stay in the present moment. That was, so I was really grateful that I had that meditation practice. It just got turned up. The flame just got really turned up on that. Mm-hmm. When I was able to detox. I had a yoga practice before, but it was more like yin yoga. And I got into a more active form of, Hatha and Kundalini. There's all the postures of Hatha yoga are also in Kundalini. That's a version that I do. I happen to like it. It's pretty athletic. It's not the only yoga. I've had a lot of yoga forms.
Yes.
Mostly I teach trauma-informed yoga now, because of the clientele that I have. So there are issues, you know, as you know, they get stuck in the tissues. Our stuff gets stuck in the tissues. And so the trauma-informed yoga gently helps move that out. So it's a gentle process. That's the I have a kind of a regular yoga practice, but I really specialize in the trauma informed now.
Do you have classes that you do, or do you just do like one-on-ones with your clients?
I do both. I have a weekly class online, and I do one-on-ones with clients when they need it.
I love that. I'm a huge fan of yin and restorative yoga. It helped me get back on the path around the time I moved to Wichita, and it really just taught me, like you said, to breathe and be in the present moment and really feel my body and begin another relationship with my body again. I'd kind of like felt it and went away from it. You know, I'm like, oh, not ready. But finally, when I was able to consistently sit down and really confront myself and connect those parts of myself, I give a lot of thanks to Sally, my yoga teacher at the time, who had the grace and the patience and saw me every day I came to class. I was the youngest one in the class, but I was still recovering from a surgery, so I had to like rebuild all of my muscle again. And it felt like the 100th time that I had got back on my mat and like had to learn to breathe and structure and everything again. I was like, how many times am I going to start this? Oh my goodness. So like my head was like, you want to do a headstand. You want to do a headstand. I was like, no, I want to feel my body. I want to understand that I can melt the knots away in my back. And I want to understand why I have lower back pain right now, which for me wasn't keeping up with my diet or my yoga. But when I actually sat down with her and she would do our guided meditations before we would get into the props or anything like that, she just made me feel so safe and okay with just coming into a new relationship with myself and really gave me valuable tools to feel into certain parts of my body that, you know, were really blocked at the time. And I mean, she's no longer with us, which is why I value her 10 times more. But those, like that year, I mean, really just transformed me. You know, when you meet people and you're like, I don't know what I would have done had I not met you. She's definitely like that. She's one of those people on the list that I'm like, I know I needed to meet you. I know it was short-lived, and now you're flying around free as a bird, and I'm happy for you, but I'm just so glad I met you and had the time I did.
Yeah, that's the way I felt with Dr. Peter Prescott. I knew him for, gosh, I think I knew him barely, maybe 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Real short time.
And his program was only available for 3 years, and I happened to land in it right in the middle. So, you know, there's divine guidance going on that I can't even begin to, my poor mind is just not capable of tracking it.
Same way. I'm like, if my logical brain dug into this too much, it would rip all the magical parts. So I'm just going to know that I'm loved and protected from a higher source and keep trucking on with my mission. So you are an author. I know that you have your book over there. Do you want to get into a couple parts of your book?
Well, I'll show people. I'll give everybody a sense of it.
Yeah.
It's the Way Through Chronic Pain, Tools to Reclaim Your Healing Power. And the book is really for chronic pain sufferers and those who care for them. Doctors, nurses, family members, and friends, offering proven techniques to clear pain and live a life free from suffering. From a former chronic pain sufferer, me, who searched the globe for answers and found them. So it's a couple of things. It's like the tools that I use to clear the chronic pain from my body, and also which had a lot to do with. I mean, there was the drug detox, which is I talk about it, but I can't take you through that. That's doctors handle that.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of understanding mindset, and there was also, you know, the physical yoga, qigong, those kinds of things that we did. We approached it, as you said, holistically. It's a holistic approach. And also the other thing about this book is chronic pain, people in chronic pain, and you'll recognize this. They don't tell the truth. They're either complaining all the time or they don't say anything at all. And neither of those things is the truth. And I wanted to write a book where the voice of the chronic pain sufferer was heard as it actually is. And so that's another thing that this book offers to people. So anyway, that's my book. I would like to give people an experience of ancestral clearing, if that's possible.
Yes, let's do it. I love the book. There's so many people that are popping in my mind right now that I would just love to put it in front of them and present it, because they don't have that alternative perspective of living without chronic pain. I think when they hear stories about people living without it, they're like, you know, they kind of give that like dog look, in a sense, like, what? Chronic pain is, you just live with it. You just deal with it, right? Like the doctors told you. So like, yeah. I said, I really do think that you're a great example of, hey, this is possible. You got to put in the work and, you know, give up the things that are making you sick, so to speak, but it really is powerful. So,
and
yes.
it's worth that. Yeah.
Yes. Do your thing. I would love it.
Yeah. So ancestral clearing, as I said earlier, is a trademarked registered product modality that of John Newton of Health Beyond Belief, who actually teaches people how to be practitioners. Anybody can do this. I've been in this practice for about 9 years, and as a practitioner, and we use the word forgiveness. It's about 80% of the practice. There's 5 different techniques. I'm going to show you one of them today, so you can have an experience of it. We use the word forgiveness as offering up to the creator energy, God energy, whatever you want to call that, a great spirit, offer up which no longer serves. Forgiveness, we're offering up that which no longer serves us. So I'm going to just go through this, and what I'd like everybody who's listening, the replay is just as powerful as this live, so just letting you know, just notice what you're feeling in the body as sensation. Just noticing anywhere there might be some stuck energy or a little pressure or tension or wherever. Just kind of notice that. Note the number from 0 to 10. And let these words just pass over you. Infinite Creator, all that you are, source of all that is, was, and ever will be. We ask humbly and gratefully that you help everyone listening to this and all their relationships, and all their ancestors and all of their relationships through all time, space, dimension, lives, lifetimes, and incarnations. For all the times any of you felt let down by life, by family members, by relationships, by anyone representing the Creator, for any time they felt let down by the Creator in any name or form, and for any time they turned their back on the Creator or believed that the Creator turned its back on them. Please help you all forgive each other. Help you all forgive yourselves. Find peace with one another and find peace with yourselves. Please and thank you. For all the times you weren't nurtured, loved, supported, and cherished in the ways that you needed, please help all of you to forgive each other and forgive yourselves. For the times you weren't able to nurture, love, and support others in the ways they needed. For any time you were out of integrity with another or another out of integrity with you, please help all of you to forgive and release one another. Forgive and release yourselves for the highest good. Please and thank you. For all war, battle, holocaust, genocide, persecution, slavery, injustice of any kind, any misuse of power, position, authority, politically, spiritually, medically, or in any other way, please help everyone involved to forgive and release one another. Forgive and release yourselves. Now and forever, please and thank you for all hurts and wrongs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, sexual, financial, through thought, word, or action. All of you to another and another to all of you. Please help you all forgive and release one another, forgive and release yourselves. Find peace with one another and find peace with yourselves. For all suicide, incest, murder, rape, abortion, infidelity, miscarriage, infertility, all of it. Everyone involved directly or indirectly for all that happened and all you made it mean. Please help you all forgive each other and forgive yourselves, find peace with one another and find peace with yourselves. Please and thank you. For all empathic hurts and wrongs, times you took on others' unresolved issues or shouldered their burdens. For all adversity, struggle, and hardship you saw, especially as children. Please help all of you to forgive each other and forgive yourselves, all family members, relationships, times this was done to you and times this was done to others. Please and thank you, Infinite Creator, all that you are. Please and thank you. For all hurts and wrongs, anything we could have inferred had it served the highest good, we infer it now. For all that happened and all you made it mean, everything that led up to hurts, wrongs, limitations, burden of any kind that's not serving the highest good. We ask all of you, everyone involved, to forgive your parents, grandparents, siblings, children, grandchildren. Help them all forgive you and help you all forgive yourselves. Please and thank you. Help you forgive your lovers, 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 spouses, lovers, spouses, parents, lovers. Help them forgive you and help you all forgive yourselves. Please and thank you. Your whole family and lineage. Help you forgive your cousins, aunts, uncles, step-in-laws, hidden, secret, foster, adopted, and all other significant people, beings, family members, relationships, role models, and authority figures. Help them all forgive you and help you all forgive yourselves. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. And take a breath in and let it out and notice how that feels in the body.
That was beautiful. Felt very trance-like for me. I compared it a lot to like a guided meditation where I could close my eyes and breathe and just like really let go as you continue to guide me on what I was releasing. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. I love this practice. Yeah. That's just a little taste. A 25 or 50 minute session that's really focused on the individual is pretty amazing. Also, John Newton offers a monthly free call that you can go onto his website at healthbelief.com, healthbeyondbelief.com. He offers a free monthly call so you can drop in and get a taste of that for free if you want. And anyway, that's an experience. I have found it so helpful, and it's very helpful for others. People usually feel pretty light when we don't realize we're carrying a burden until we don't carry it anymore because we came in with it.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, feeling light. Like I could feel the subtle tingles all over my body as I was observing the situation. And yeah, if that's just a taste, I can't even imagine what else you do. That's beautiful.
Thank you very much. Well, yeah, I love what I do for sure.
I can tell I love it. I could tell the first time we met and just how it inspires you and honestly adds vitality, if you ask me. I think when you're doing the right thing and really serving humanity in such a positive way, every day really would just be another miracle.
It is. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. So if I want to work with you, how do I get a hold of you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yes, you can come to my website at elizabeth-kip.com. You got to put the little hyphen in there between Elizabeth and Kip. .com. ElizabethKip.com is a web designer and a photographer, and she's amazing, but she's not me. You find me at Elizabeth-Kip.com. You can contact me. There's a through there. Also, I'm all over social media, so you can message me, you know, through Facebook or Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm available in all these places.
Well, I will be sure, as always, to put you in the description below. So for anybody listening that would like to work, connect with you, work with you, know more about your story, or even buy your book, you know how to do it on this podcast. Go to the description, scroll down, not too far, and you'll find Connect with Elizabeth here. You will find the website, the Instagram, the Facebook, and the LinkedIn. Any of the links that you give me so I can get you in contact with her is right there and readily available for you. So before we hop off here, do you have... such a whimsical question. Do you have words of advice for anybody who is seeking chronic pain or stress management? What would be your advice to them for seeking something further in holistic medicine?
Well, I would definitely look for a holistic kind of doctor. And I would want everyone who's listening this to leave with this message. The greatest healer lives within you. It's not out there. The doctors can set a bone and stitch up a wound, but they can't tell the body how to heal. Only the body knows how to do that. So it's just important that we understand the source of our healing is the intelligence that lives within us.
Beautiful. I love it. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and your modalities and your wisdom and everything. I really look forward to keeping up with everything you're doing and hearing more about it along the way.
Well, thank you so much, Cheyenne. All the best for you. I sure appreciate the opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so, so much. I'm in, honestly, like such a blind full of gratitude right now after that thing. I was like, whew, I'm a little woozy for the end of this episode, but I appreciate that too. I really want to now check out all the other modalities that you're able to offer after that, because 55 minutes of that, I would be floating out of your office. All right, well, before we get out of here, friends, Vitality Exposed is going to bring us a track from Neovi. It's called No One Has to Know. I'll see y'all in the next episode. I love y'all to pieces.
This is the Hoosier Media Network, your home for podcasting.